Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I know summer is quickly starting to come to an end, although at least that's kind of how it feels to me. Teaching school starting on August 13th seems a little ridiculous, but that's how it seems. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, especially as a guest pastor, but the truth is there are less than 14 Sundays until Advent. I know. 14 Sundays from now, the tree may already be up in the sanctuary, at least it will be in my home congregation, and we'll be looking forward to hearing the gospel reading, also from Luke, which we heard from today, in which the angels visit the shepherds and declare the birth of Jesus in the city of David with a resounding glory to God in the highest, and peace, goodwill to men. That's the gospel of Luke that we all know and love. But then, just 10 chapters later, the very same child that the angels greeted with their heavenly song, now fully grown and in the midst of his earthly ministry, he turns to his disciples and tells them that the angels' words, those words that we love so much and we look so forward to hearing every Christmas, that those words are a lie. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. And then he continues, making things even worse. For from now on, five in one house will be divided. Three against two and two against three. Father will be divided against son and son against father. Mother against daughter. Daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law. And daughter-in-law against her mother. Now, I think that much of the reason that we do so look forward to Christmas is that the gospel for that day, the words of the angels announcing Jesus' birth, now yes, they're nice, but they're also so blessedly opposite of what we see day in and day out. The angels preach peace. The angels say, fear not. Jesus' words, on the other hand, are unpleasant, not only because the message seems to be unpleasant, but because Jesus' words are what we see day in and day out. We see the division. We see the broken family. We see father and son turn against one another, same also for mothers and daughters and in-laws. Our families are affected by this. And then, to top it all off, Jesus says that he himself is the reason for it. And these words also hit too close to home. We've seen children grow and wander away from the faith that they were raised in. Who knows when or if they'll come through the doors of the church again. We've seen the heartbreak of parents whose sons and daughters leave and even grow to despise the faith they once held. We see our loved ones come to church less and less until eventually they stop bothering to come at all. We see children and grandchildren go unbaptized. And none of this is to mention the division we see in the church as the groups and the sects continue to splinter off from one another, or even the division that we see on a global scale as we continue to be inundated by divisive politics here at home and by wars and by rumors of wars abroad. And to the Christian, it can be just so heartbreaking, so discouraging. Today's gospel reading, Jesus tells us that because of him, families will be torn apart. He tells us that he's come to bring fire from heaven, and he wishes it were already kindled, which frankly sounds a lot more like Sodom and Gomorrah than it does the Christmas story. He tells us that he has a baptism to be baptized with, and he's distressed until it's accomplished. He tells us that he's come to bring division among the peoples of the earth. And bring division he does, because the peace that Jesus promises, is not first and foremost between people, between mothers and daughters, or between fathers and sons, or even between in-laws. No, the peace that Jesus promises, the peace proclaimed by the angels at his birth, the peace that Simeon experienced when holding the infant Jesus in the temple, the peace that allowed his disciples to abandon everything in order to follow him, is between mankind and God. That's the peace that Jesus brings. Peace between a creator and a fallen creation. Between rebellious, wandering children and a loving father who wants nothing more than for his children to come home. Without peace with God, any peace with one another would be meaningless. Actually, true peace would be impossible. The peace that matters, the peace that Paul tells us surpasses all understanding, is found only with God. It flows from the side of Christ. The baptism that Jesus speaks of, that he desires so much to have already accomplished, is the cross. The baptism that Jesus undergoes is a baptism of suffering in which your sins are placed upon his shoulders and crucified with him. And that allows your baptism to be one of joy, in which God truly says, "Today I have purchased you with the blood of my own Son. Your sins are forgiven. You are mine." It is after this baptism of suffering, after the cross, that Jesus is finally able to speak as the angels spoke, entering the locked room after his resurrection where his terrified disciples are gathered, and announcing to them, "Peace be with you." It is Jesus' baptism of suffering. It's the cross that brings us to the altar Sunday after Sunday to receive his body and blood, to rejoice in our peace with God, and to share in peace, in true, actual peace with one another. It's true. We do experience divisions in our earthly families. We experience divisions in the church. And it's also true that some of those divisions are a result of believing in the gospel. But with the gospel, the bloody suffering and death of Jesus Christ, God has taken divided fathers and sons and gives himself to them as a father. He takes divided mothers and daughters and gives them all a new mother, his church, the bride of his son. He takes the fighting in-laws, a tale seemingly as old as marriage itself, and invites them all to witness a new marriage ceremony. Marriage Feast of the Lamb, which we celebrate each and every time we come next to each other at the Lord's table. To those of us who grieve the loss of brothers or sisters or children, he gives us, he gives his children, one to another as true brothers and sisters, united to each other because we've been united to him. at peace with each other. Because in Christ, we are at peace with God. In our gospel reading, Jesus tells us that he has come to bring fire upon the earth, and he wishes it had already been kindled. And as St. Luke describes in the book of Acts, Jesus fulfills the promise, and he does send fire from heaven. Not pillars of fire to burn and to destroy, but the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit sent down his tongues of flame upon the heads of the apostles, and rather than being sent as a punishment, allowed them to speak in languages so that every nation on the face of the earth could hear the gospel. So that every nation could have the peace that surpasses all understanding, the peace that can only be given from the pierced hands, feet, and side of Jesus. A peace that we receive as Jesus gives himself to us, his own body and blood, and tells to us, take and eat. Take and drink. Your sins are forgiven. You are my Father's dear child. And peace be with you. In Jesus' name.